Today on CityCast Denver. In the last few years, there's been a groundswell of interest and effort across Colorado to remember what happened at Amachi. It was a concentration camp outside of Grenada in southeast Colorado, where more than 10,000 Americans of Japanese descent were incarcerated during World War II. It's a tragic, shameful chapter of Colorado history, but it's part of who we are.
Well, I don't know if you want to jump to the end of the story, Bree, but you don't have to imagine what the rose would look like, because this story has grown. I suppose the story has bloomed.
Ryan Warner is the host of Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. And today, he shares a surprising and touching story about a flower blooming in the desert. Today is Thursday, May 26th, 2022. I'm Bree Davies, and this is CityCast Denver.
And I am testing. And Bree, one more time, speak for me.
Hello. Good afternoon, Ryan Warner.
Good. And you're on the other channel. So I will send that to you afterwards.
Ryan Warner, welcome to CityCast Denver.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be with you.
So you recently uncovered a fascinating story about the site of the old Japanese-American concentration camp in southeast Colorado, Amachi. And archaeologists working there found something really interesting. What did they find?
In 2012, they were at Amachi and they found, I guess I could call it a rose bush, but it was really more of a rose bramble. And it was growing across the remnants of a doorway. You know that Amachi in southeastern Colorado is mostly foundations of what was there. And it was to everyone's surprise that a rose bush was growing.
Because that's just not something that grows in that part of the state, right?
Well, it's remotely possible that this is a wild rose, but that is not the major thinking here. I mean, as I think you are implying in your question, this is a hard scrabble place. I mean, it bakes in the sun and it freezes in the winter and water is hard to come by. So indeed, there was real surprise that this hardy rose was clinging on, possibly after 80 years since the abandonment of what's called the Grenada Relocation Center. That was the official name of Amachi, named for the nearby town of Grenada, Colorado.
What did archaeologists think when they found a rose bush?
Well, the archaeologist in question is Dr. Bonnie Clark from the University of Denver. And she has something called the Amachi Research Project. She brings survivors and descendants to Amachi to help do the work of archaeology there with her. So they are unearthing this country's past, but they are unearthing their own past at the same time. And it was in 2012, during an archaeological expedition, that they saw the roses. And as one survivor described it to me, in this, these are her words, in this godforsaken place, we could not believe that roses were growing. Now, mind you, it was clearly a rose bush or a bramble, but no one had seen it blossom. No one had seen it sprout a bud or bloom, very likely since the closure of Camp Amachi. Bonnie Clark, the archaeologist, went back every few years to see, is the rose bush blooming? Is it blooming? Is it blooming? And it never did. And so she's the one who enlisted the folks at the Denver Botanic Gardens in hopes of learning more and in hopes of spurring its growth.
And what did the Botanic Gardens folks do after she connected with them?
Well, they took a field trip, Bree. They went from Denver to southeast Colorado to the Grenada Relocation Center, and they carefully took clippings from the Amachi roses. And this involves a lot of tender, loving care. They washed those clippings to keep them clean. They put them in, my sense is like maybe a wet paper towel to keep them moist. and then in a cooler and transported their precious cargo back to the Denver Botanic Gardens. And I'm sure you've been to the gardens, Bree. There's this sort of public-facing aspect of it. And then there are these very working greenhouses where all sorts of botany, all sorts of horticulture is going on. And they have been tending to these clippings, which really are doing quite well. They're thriving in that environment.
Winding through the canyon, her anticipation rose. Monarch Casino Resort Spa, the epitome of mountain chic. Her pulse raced as she sat down at a high-limit Baccarat table. Hungry? She chose the Southwest Fusion flavors of Bistro Mariposa before ascending to Bliss, a top-rated spa Monarch, for a signature massage treatment. She slept well in her luxurious hotel room, fulfilled by her stay. Write your own story at monarchblackhawk.com.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
But I think what I found most stirring about this story is that the Denver Botanic Gardens is making a film about the Amachi roses, and they delivered two clippings to a survivor in California for her to take care of as well. And this is Carlene Tanegoshi Tinker, who lives in Fresno, California. She was 3 years old when she and her parents were forced from California to Colorado's southeastern plains under Order 9066. That was the order that Franklin Roosevelt signed, ordering the incarceration, the imprisonment of Japanese Americans during World War II.
Mm. What do you think, or what have you gathered from your conversations, is this the symbolism or the symbolic nature of this rose?
As Carlene Tanegoshi Tinker puts it, the roses show survivorship. That was her word, survivorship. That after 80 years, if indeed these roses were planted by the Amachians and cared for by the Amachians, that after almost 80 years, they held on. Well, that means they held on just like the people at Camp Amachi, and that they were able to thrive, survive in the bleakest of environments. And I also think it means that there was a sliver of color and a sliver of beauty to one of the dimmest chapters of this country's history.
Yeah, I'm imagining that rose growing in the desert and what that looked like and maybe symbolized to the folks that were being held there.
Well, I don't know if you want to jump to the end of the story, Bree, but you don't you don't have to imagine what the rose would look like, because this story has grown. It has, I suppose the story has bloomed.
Yes, that was my next question was, it's an artifact, but it's a living thing. What, yeah. What is going to happen, or what has been happening with this rose bush?
Well, I'm so glad you say it's a living thing. You know, Bonnie Clark, the archaeologist, refers to these as witness roses. She is especially intoxicated by the fact that plants that can survive for so long bear witness to history. I mean, if indeed these roses were planted by the incarcerees and cared for by the incarcerees, they were witness to that history, and they're still with us. So the prevailing thinking was going to be that the roses would bloom midsummer at either the Denver Botanic Gardens, as they're being babied in the greenhouse, or in Carlene Tanegoshi Tinker's garden in Fresno, California. She emails me, by the way, almost daily with pictures of her two clippings, giving me and her friends and Bonnie Clark, the archaeologist, updates on their condition. She's very excited about them. But in fact, there was a bloom just this past weekend at Amachi, Bree, at Camp Amachi, in the hardscrabble conditions. The original rosebush that no one had seen bloom for 70 some odd years, sprouted a little bud.
Oh my God.
Right? Is there a bloom?
Oh, oh my God. I'm like a little bit weepy. It's such a beautiful, I mean, it's what you would ideally want to happen, but how would you ever know that was going to be the outcome? That's incredible.
If you think that the story thus far is stirring,
yeah,
I just want to explain the power of the timing of the bud, Bree.
Good point. Yes.
It came the same year that Camp Amatxi was declared a National Historic Site. So this means that the camp is now part of the National Park System. It came the same month that we mark and celebrate Asian American heritage. And it came the same day, that is, they witnessed the bud the same day as the annual Camp Amatxi pilgrimage. So this is an annual event where those who care for this place and survivors and descendants gather at Amatxi. They hold a ceremony at the cemetery. And in this case, they walked over from the cemetery to the rose bush, and there was the bud. I mean, the timing is so synchronistic, is so literary, that it almost seems unreal to me.
Yeah, and I think that it speaks to, if you're listening, nature is responding, and nature spoke back sort of to this experience that folks had in this place.
Carlene Taniguchi Tinker, again, who was at Amatxi starting at age 3 and until she was 6, she calls it a miracle. That was her word. Bonnie Clark, the archaeologist, has a theory as to why it finally bloomed at Camp Amatxi, and that it may have actually been the clipping, the tending to of the rose bush by the Denver Botanic Gardens, the pruning, essentially, that spurred some growth in the rose bush. So it's possible that the observation and the science and the clippings contributed to the timing and the production of this rose bramble.
What a lovely symbolic story, but what a nice way to, I mean, this is a complex place. It's important that we acknowledge it because human beings had to exist there under conditions many of us could not imagine. But it also is this place of learning, and I don't know, it's just complicated. And I think the rose story just brings that another addition of the human element to it.
Well, and I hope that fundamentally the story of the rose unearths for people the story of Camp Amatxi, the fact that some 10,000 people of Japanese ancestry went through that camp and lived in horrific conditions in which privacy was hard to come by. Carlene Taniguchi Tinker talks about the incredible heat that they contended with when they were there, 100 plus degree temperatures in the summer on the dry, hardscrabble southeastern plains. And so I think to the extent that the rose is a symbol not only of survival, but is here again as a witness rose to remind us of this history.
Ryan, what can you tell me about the rose as maybe a symbol or a link to our agricultural history as a state in relationship to the Japanese Americans who were held at Amatxi?
Yeah, I mean, this is really another legacy of Camp Amatxi. It's estimated that 60% of the folks who were incarcerated there had some sort of agricultural, horticultural, gardening background. This is according to Dr. Bonnie Clark. She's consulted census records to come to this figure. And so it's very likely that they would have wanted to tend to living things while they were incarcerated. So that underscores this idea that the rose is very likely a product of Amatxians. But our agricultural bounty today in Colorado some of our produce comes from Japanese American families in Colorado. And you need, by the way, look no further than the bonsai garden at the Denver Botanic Gardens to see some of that horticultural history continue. Those gardens, that pavilion is named for Bill Hosokawa, who was a Denver Post editor and himself a former prisoner of an internment camp. In his case, it was a camp in Wyoming. So this history is all around us, and it's frankly much closer to us than just Grenada, Colorado.
Well, and I think that speaks to how history is always connected to the present in these stories that that's something I never knew. And I grew up here understanding that that is something I can be connected to today by the food that I eat.
That's right. And the roses that you smell, Bree.
Yeah, that's incredible. Ryan Warner, thanks for joining me.
It's my pleasure.
And here's what else Denverites are talking about. Gun violence. It's all anyone can talk about this week. It's still on the rise in Colorado. And especially after the tragic mass killing at an elementary school in Texas the other day, I have to address our episode on the topic from earlier this week. We do our best to showcase a wide variety of perspectives on issues that matter to Denverites most. But in our effort to do that, we failed to include the necessary context on Denver's recent concealed carry ban. We appreciate those of you who wrote in to push us to learn more and, frankly, to get this one right. So rest assured, we're working on a follow-up. And we want to hear from you, too. What do you think about Denver's work to get rid of guns? Are there programs or policies you think we should be talking about? Leave us a voicemail or text us at 720-500-5418 or email us at denver@citycast.fm. I think we can figure this out, but only if we do it together. Thanks for listening. That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute to tell a friend about us? Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our morning newsletter. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. See you later.
That's the
sunflowers.
Oh my God!
What? Right?
Is there a bloom?
Is it blooming for you?
Yeah.
That's what a little rain will do for you.